Well, glory. How many remember where we are tonight? Well, I think I know. We mentioned some things the last time. Hallelujah. Hold on, I'm going to turn back here just a minute. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many know what Proverbs 18:21 says? Life and death, amen, are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat the fruit thereof. How many know last time, not last week, we talked about unity and that we all have our place in the body of Christ and we are one in Him, amen? And that we have members individual. We need each member doing its part. Why? Because we are being built up into Christ. We're no longer going to be children that are tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. How many know there's some winds of doctrine in the world today? Amen. I think the world's gone crazy and half the church. You know, sometimes the world, how many know? Sometimes the world gets into the church. Amen. Glory to God. I shouldn't say half the church, but certain parts of the church. Amen. Just like it was in the New Testament, some things haven't really changed. There's always somebody that has a, you know, but these are the last days. And he said, what? There's going to be false teachers and false prophets come into play. And we need to be on guard, amen, and be doing our part. And we're going to keep praying and seeking God. Why? Because it is a protection. Because the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, right? And He's going to help us to discern what is good and what is evil. How? When we become the doers, amen? By reason of use, we discern what is good and what is evil. Amen. Hallelujah. We talked a couple of weeks ago. We were talking about bridling our tongue. How many remember? Amen. Hebrews James chapter 1. That's right after Hebrews. Amen. And before 1 Peter. Glory to God. All right. He says here in James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction and to keep himself, what, unspotted by the world. This is true religion. But if we do not bridle our tongue, amen. Oh, this is where we are. Okay. Verse 26, that's the one right before it. Sorry. Our religion, now I was reading this because this is pure religion that we take care of. How many believe God is interested in helping the orphan and the widow? Amen. But verse 26, one right before that, if any man among you seem to be religious. You ever seen anybody that seems religious? It says, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart. This man's religion is vain. Amen. How many want your religion not to be vain, but to be productive, right? And, you know, vain, that just means useless. What use is it, right? If it's vain, it's useless, but pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is that we take care of the fatherless and the widows. But how many know sometimes religious people try to do the same thing, amen? But if we don't bridle our tongue, oh my goodness, what does that mean? Well, he goes on to say In the third chapter, James, he says, you know, we put the bit, what, in the horse's mouth. Why? So we can tell it which way to go, right? Sometimes we need to put the bridle on our own tongue, don't we? On our own mouth. I was thinking about that this morning. I said, oh, Lord, you know, sometimes we have things, and how many want the mind of God and not your mind? Amen. You ever think of things, you know, in your mind, you know, you want to crucify somebody, you want to, you know, not just get them out of office, but I mean, we want to destroy them, you know. Our mind, and God says, what? Pray for those in authority, right? Or, you know, like I think Red wrote a song. He says, you know, I want to tell you twice, but once will do just fine. You know, I give you a piece of my mind, you know. But how many know the Lord saves us from that? Amen. When we ask him to guard our tongue, to watch out what we say, and to use our mouth instead on purpose to speak obedience, amen, and the right things with our lips. On purpose, we said we begin to declare the word of God, amen. Proverbs 13:3, he said, he that keeps his mouth keeps his life. But he that opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 14:3 says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. The proud think that they can speak anything that they want out of their mouth. You ever hear that, people? You know, well, you know what? You may have a right. You may even have a right to say it. But that doesn't mean it should be said. The Bible says here, the proud. The foolish, right? In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride. In other words, they're saying, hey, I've got rights. I can say what I want, and they may be able to do so. But how many know sometimes there's consequences for what you say? And sometimes it can change the way that our life goes. But the lips of the wise shall preserve them. In other words, the wise bridle their tongue with something, and that's the word of God. Amen? We bridle our tongue with the word of God. Because our tongue, the Bible says there, let's go to James 3 for a minute, because he talks about the tongue. And he's talking about teachers, partly in the body of Christ, but how many know it also applies to our life? Amen. Chapter 3. Let's just start there in the first verse. It says, brethren, be not many masters or teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Talking about the body of Christ, really. He's saying, hey, teachers, be careful. Don't everybody say I'm a teacher, because you are going to be judged greatly by God. I'm judged by God. We're all judged by him. But he says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. In other words, what is taught or what is said with the mouth that brings forth instruction to you and I from the word of God can direct your life. It's going to turn it to the right or to the left. That is the point of the bridle. And when we speak the word of God, we bridle our life. We begin, we're like that horse that wants to take off running sometimes. And if we don't bridle that tongue, how many know it can set here in just a minute? We'll see that the tongue can be set on fire of hell. Well, what does he mean? The words that you speak can set yourself on fire. It can get you in trouble. How many know? Anybody ever got in trouble? I've gotten in trouble with my words before. I don't know about you, but sometimes I said some things I wish I hadn't said. Maybe something to your mother or dad. Anybody ever talk back to your mom or dad? Maybe once, right? Just once. That's the last time I did. I know that. But I'm sorry. I wish I had to said some of those things. And sometimes we get angry. You ever get angry? Maybe you say something you didn't mean. Amen. You didn't mean it like that. And you know, and sometimes people know, well, they're just angry. But if we don't rein in our tongue, that means you got that broad, whoa. Don't just go shooting off at the mouth. Don't forget to engage our mind first and think about what we're saying. Anyway, verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they are so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm or rudder, we would say, whithersoever the governor listeth. Okay. Hallelujah. How many know whichever way they decide it's going to go, you are the governor of your life. And only you can have control of that tongue. It says, verse 5 says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That tongue can be something, a small member, but how many know what a great fire it can start? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and the birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Hallelujah. But we, says here, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation. In other words, his way of life, right? His works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Oh, Lord, help us. And how many know? What does that come by? Strife, isn't that the tongue? Usually we say something. Or maybe it was an action. For where envying and strife is, there's confusion, every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is shown in peace of them that make peace. Hallelujah. So here he's saying it shouldn't be. We shouldn't have good and evil coming out of our mouth. But if we're going to do that, if we're not going to allow it, we're not going to let our tongue be set on fire, then we have to tame that tongue. He says, no man can tame it, but how many know? With the help of God, we can tame our tongue. The Word of God will tame your tongue. The Holy Ghost will help you. If you'll take and say, no, I'm not going to say words that bring evil and harm and hurt. I'm going to say words of life. How many know that when it's spoken properly. He said, they are like a word fitly spoken is what? Like apples of gold in settings of silver. In other words, it becomes life to someone. In the tongue, we said, there is power, there is death, and there is life. Proverbs 16:13 says, the righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak right. Jesus, your King, loves to hear you speaking right things. Proverbs 16:27 says, an ungodly man digs up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. That's Proverbs 16:27. Now we read here, there could be a fire if we allow the enemy to stir it up. But he said, that's not the wisdom of God. See, James didn't just stop and say, hey, you know, he says here, yeah, every kind of beast has been tamed. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. It's full of deadly poison. However, with God, we can tame that tongue. We can bridle that tongue. We can bring it under control, can't we? But it's going to take us meditating on the right thing. Amen? And speaking the word of God on purpose. Deciding, I'm going to use my tongue to direct my life in God's righteous way. And I'm going to receive the blessing of the Lord from it. Hallelujah. Now, so one of the most vital keys that we have, of course, in living by faith and walking with God is our tongue and is speaking what we believe. Amen. How many know when we speak what God says, we agree with Him, things in our life can change. That's the faith that God placed on the inside of you. The same way that we got saved. What did we do? We believed in our heart. We said or confessed with our mouth, the Lord Jesus. And what happened? We were saved. We believed that He died on that cross for us. We said, Jesus, be Lord of my life. In whatever, at least with our heart. Amen. How many know it's more important to have your heart right than whatever words you said? You know, if you didn't get the words exactly right, but your heart was to God, I believe. When does a person get saved? When they walk down front or the moment that they already turned their heart to Him? They already made that decision. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not just, it's not that we shouldn't say it. Our words have power and we need to say, Jesus be Lord of my life. It's somewhere there. And they come, they make that public, say, hey, I came to the altar to say, Jesus is Lord of my life. Hallelujah. How many know it's important? And we should encourage people to tell someone. But when we're living by faith, our words have everything to do with it. Glory to God. And we've talked a lot here about what faith is. And we've even mentioned about releasing faith with our words. But tonight I want us to realize that it's a fact that some people have developed an imbalance or the wrong perception of faith and the confession message. And some Christians have wrongly criticized the concept of what? Confessing the Word of God. How many know confessing the Word of God is important? God's Word is, you know, we can confess His Word and receive the blessing that He promised. When we agree with God's Word, amen, things change. That blessing can be yours. But Scripture absolutely, without debate, establishes the truth that our confession leads to God's promises being manifested in our life. The Bible reveals that the spoken word of God brings about a change. How many believe that? If you will get a hold of the word of God, of course we have to, sometimes we are speaking the Word of God to a place where our heart is being filled up. And then as it's filled, we speak it from a place of faith. And God begins, God is already working. But how many know sometimes it's a process? Amen. Anybody ever been here healed over time? I've been healed over time. Maybe it was a day. Maybe it was a few days. Maybe it was a few months. Maybe it was years. But over time, we continue to speak the Word of God, and it is full of power, and it brings what? Life to our very flesh, our very being. It changes circumstances. Why? Because the Word of God has the ability to help us get our mind renewed to what God has said. And when we agree with Him and get our words working with the Word of God, things begin to change. Hallelujah. I know you've heard it here over and over, but I want us to see tonight. We haven't, I don't know if we've said it enough. I don't know if we've realized. I've got to bridle my tongue. I've got to decide. I'm going to agree with what God said, period, regardless of what I see with my eyes. I'm going to hold fast to what He said. Now, the Bible does reveal that the spoken Word of God brought change. How many remember Genesis chapter 1? Have you ever read it? All right, back over here, let's go to Genesis 1 for a minute. And let's take a look. We see here in Genesis 1, God spoke several times and His will was established. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Verse 4, and God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now, right before that, in verse 2, it says, hey, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. In other words, God, the Holy Spirit, was already hovering. He was moving upon the earth. Now, when we look this up in the Hebrew, it says, hey, the earth was without form, or it was taboo. It was, you know, it was chaos. It was chaotic. It didn't look good, but it was there. And in the middle of chaos, many times here, God said this to me. I remember when God spoke to me about that. He said, out of chaos, I was having a, you know, I was realizing that we're coming to the end times. I remember the preacher was talking about how bad it's going to get. I'm thinking, oh my, this is, you know, and God spoke to me. He said, out of chaos, I created the earth. When it was chaotic, when things were in disorder, I said, and light became. Words create things. It changes things in our life. God's word changes things. Now, see, we can't just do it, and we don't can't just change everything with our words. But when our words agree with what God said, when we say what God says, our world begins to change. It may look chaotic today. It may not look like anything good could come out of it. But when we begin to get a hold of God's word, and we say, He said, light be. Or we might say, peace be still. Amen. And things begin to change. The atmosphere changes. Things change. So here God said, and again we see it in the sixth verse, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. In other words, God divided what? Water up here and water in the earth. He made a division, and God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. hear God begin to say, and what happened? Things changed, didn't they? Something took place. And sometimes in our life we may see chaos, but as we continue to declare God's word, things can change. Things can change in your life. Things can change in the lives of those for whom we are praying. You have authority in the earth because you are a son or daughter of the living God. And when God's word enters our mouth, we can speak it forth and cause things to change. Verse 9, here's the third day. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Oh, how many are thankful for God's word? Amen. How many know His word is full of power? And when it's put in your mouth, it's full of power. You have the power to bring change about anything in your life. It doesn't really matter what the problem may be. God's word can bring a change when we put it in our mouth. Verse 11 says this, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Oh, glory to God. Saints, do you see tonight that the spoken word of God can bring a change? Glory to God. Woo! Several times here. I think it's 9 or 11. I'm not sure exactly. I was counting them up, and somebody had said it was 11, but I counted 9. So at least 9 times God said. Right here in the book of the beginnings. God was showing how He operated. He was declaring to man, I operate with words. Hallelujah. When I say, things happen. And when I have given you a promise, if you'll say, things will happen. If you'll agree with me and let it be attached to the faith that is in your heart, because faith cometh what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And when we hear what God has said and we agree with it and we put it in our mouth, things begin to change. Oh, glory to God. Woo! I'm excited about this tonight. I'm telling you, I got excited reading Genesis 1. How many know sometimes we've read it so many times it gets old to us. But if it's old to us, then it's not real to us. And we might need to read it again. We might need to say it out our mouth. Glory to God. And God said, verse 14, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day and the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Oh my goodness, how many know that's true? To this very day. We keep track. The calendar runs what? On the way, the moon and the sun and how the earth goes around them. How many know it's still true today? How many looked out today and saw the sun? You'll look out tonight. If it's clear, you'll see the moon, won't we? And it brings light. God said, and it is still so. Glory to God. Whew. We do our seasons off of that, don't we? We know when, you know, don't they say the solus, you know, of the sun, whatever the place the sun or the moon is, right? That one, we know spring solus is getting ready to come here in a few days. Then it's, we know the seasons are starting to change. Things will start happening. Glory to God. Woo! You know, sometimes we can set some things in motion and put some things in our heart with God's word that will last us forever. It's going to last us our whole life. and the devil can't take it from you, and no man can take it from you. They might lock you up in prison, but they cannot steal God's word from your heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When you made Jesus the Lord of your life, nobody can take that away from you, can they? Something took place. How many know something took place on the inside of you? You went from darkness to light. Sin was pulled out and righteousness was put in. Holiness and righteousness entered you on the inside, and you were changed. Not just for a day, but for all eternity. You'll never be the same because of the one time that you made Jesus the Lord of your life and you used words. You said, Jesus is my Lord. Woo! A change took place. Hallelujah. Glory to God for the power of words. Oh my goodness. Verse 17, and God set them in the firmament in the heaven to give light upon the earth. And the greater light, the sun, rules in the day, and the lesser at night, over the night. And over the night, and he divided the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And then God said again, and God said, hallelujah, you see, God's calling this his work. How did God work? With words. With words. How many think part of your work in the kingdom of God is with words, speaking words? Now, we've got two kinds of words that we speak around here, right? We have the Word of God. It will never fail. It's been settled in heaven forever. It cannot change, and it does not lie. It cannot help but come to pass. If you will set your heart to believe and to continue to say day and night and decide, I'm going to receive the promise of God in my life. I don't care how big a problem it may be, if we'll hold fast to the Word of God. Now, we can't change somebody else necessarily. Sometimes people can resist, but we can change circumstances around our loved ones to the degree that they see clearly the truth of God's Word. And we're believing when they see heaven or hell, life or death, they're going to choose life. Amen? How many know if you see clearly? Heaven's hot. Hell is hot, excuse me. Hell is hot and heaven is wonderful and righteous and bright, right? Hell is darkness. Heaven is light. And heaven is bliss. And if I can see that clearly, how many know in their right mind, people are going to choose heaven? Amen. Glory to God. And when we speak and when we pray, things begin to change. Glory to God. I was thinking about that the other day. I've been praying for my niece. And thank God she finally saw the light. How many know you can pray for the eyes of the understanding to be open? That God will open it and help them to see. And it may not happen the first time. Maybe it didn't happen right away. But how many know if we'll stand fast upon God's word and we'll continue to say, the eyes of their heart, Father, I'm believing you. You said you'll open them, Lord. You said you'll save me and my house. Oh, well, he said that to the Philippians, yes. But I say that over my house. And the moment they hear the word of God, guess what? They give their lives to Jesus. When they really hear it, they see clearly because the God of this world is broken off of the blinders or broken off of their mind. Whew. Anyway, I was doing real good here and we got a little distracted, but it was good anyway. Sometimes, how many know? Sometimes a little side trip is just as good as what we're preaching on. Amen. Somebody, we can get a hold of that word. If we'll take his word, we'll speak his word, we can see things change. It's going to bring about change. Glory to God. Verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and the fowl, that they may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Hallelujah. And God created great whales and every living creature that moves which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Glory to God forever. Woo! God's word has creative power. His word can create healing in your body. Amen. Some of you are a testimony of it. Sitting here today, the word of God, full of power. You didn't give up. You didn't quit. You didn't stop. Maybe you wanted to. How many know? The enemy comes, and sometimes, you know, weariness comes. Sometimes the storms of life come. Sometimes it feels like you're being beat, and you're being beat. But if you'll stand upon the word of God, and we don't quit, and we will not stop, and we continue and say, hey, yes, I had to be encouraged several times. Yes, God had to encourage me. And yes, I felt like quitting. I almost did. Nevertheless, I stood my ground and I continue to believe God's word. I continue to speak God's word. I receive my answer. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Ha ha. It produced a change. Verse 24 said, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after this kind. I think you get the idea here. Cattle and creeping thing and the beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. Woo-wee. How many believe? See, if we can believe, we receive. If we can believe that we have what we say. See, a lot of times people say, well, they're going to get all those negative things they say. Well, maybe, if people believe it. See, you got to believe what you say. Now, it can work in the negative against people, because many times, how many know? Sometimes people have been so beat down, they're so discouraged, somebody tried to destroy them with their words. You know, whether it was on purpose or not, how many know the devil works on two sides? You know, somebody may have tried to destroy someone, and then the way they heard it may have been different too. I knew a girl, she had great parents. But you know, the devil convinced her that her parents hated her when they really loved her. They were very good people. Her sister turned out great, or other people in the family, but she decided, or got a hold of the wrong thoughts, and it began to destroy her life. Her words begin to destroy her because she began to believe the wrong things about herself and begin to say those things out of her heart. And if you believe it, it can destroy you. But how many know, even if that was the case and it looks like you're going down, how many know you can stop and change? Did you know you can stop and change your words? How many remember Sarah and Abraham? How many remember what happened at first with Sarah and Abraham? Did they just say, oh Lord, I believe? No, the Bible says first they laughed. Abraham laughed, Sarah laughed. And some people have said, oh well, it was the laugh of faith. No, it was the laugh of doubt and unbelief. How could this be? They're saying, ha ha ha. Sarah says, now, I haven't had any joy from Abraham for a little while now. In other words, his body was all shriveled up and he didn't have any power left, but God, you know, had to recharge his battery and crank him up. Praise the Lord. And Sarah, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:11, that Sarah received strength to conceive. She began, why? How did she receive strength? Because she counted him faithful who had promised. And we've talked about that, didn't we, here? That yes, we have to have the promise, but we also have to have faith in the promiser, amen? Who he is, that he is faithful, that he is with me, that I will not fail because his promise will come to pass, because he is the God that cannot lie, and we put our faith in who he is. It makes a difference in life who said it, doesn't it? When God said it, we can trust it. When God said it'll come to pass, it will. If we'll set ourselves to what? Believe and let it ourselves take it. And when we decide, yes, Lord, I see the truth of your word, it shall come to pass. Man, hallelujah. Already 8 o'clock. Oh my goodness. That's too fast, but that's okay. We're getting it. Are you seeing there's change when words are spoken? Here we know that in Ezekiel, let's go to Ezekiel for a minute. It wasn't just God that spoke. Hallelujah. How many know the prophets of old also speak? Amen. Where is that? Okay. I had this marked, but I don't know what I did with it, so I have to look it up here. Ezekiel. It's a little further up. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, there it is. Thank you, Lord. Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm going to read here verses, I believe, 1 through 10, but we'll start at the first verse here. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, Ezekiel said, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. Oh my goodness. Sounds like he went to the graveyard, doesn't it? And caused me to pass by them around about. And behold, there were very many of the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Oh, my Lord, how many love to see that? When I get to heaven, I want that video, Lord. I want to see that one. Glory to God. Woo! Hallelujah! How many know he began to speak what God said? And things begin to change. There is nothing impossible. That was Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10, Diana. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. Sorry about that. All right. Praise the Lord. These great bones begin to live, though they were dry, though it looks like a place of death. It looks like it cannot live. It began to live again. And in these days, I believe the Lord is saying, we're going to see some people that it looks like there is no hope for them. It looks like they're basically dead. It doesn't look like there can be any more life in them. They've already died, and God's going to breathe some life into them. And you're going to see some people that come here, and they're going to say, I've been raised from death. And they're not going to care what man would say. Their decision has been made. They're going for God, and there's going to be such a hunger and such a life, no man will be able to stop it. I'm telling you, things are getting ready to change. Glory to God. We get our words lined up with what God has said, and we continue to pray, and we continue to prophesy, and we believe what the prophets of old have said, that in these last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters are going to begin to prophesy. I'm telling you, folks, we need everybody. We need the old, we need the young, we need those that are full of energy and full of life, because the Spirit of God is going to fall upon them. I'm telling you, folks, we're not done yet. Don't look at the dryness. Don't look like an empty church is right here. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, I decree that we are filling up. And we better be ready, because the end times are here, and God is moving in the earth, and revival's in the air. And I'm telling you, we haven't been praying for no reason, and we're not going to stop. I don't care how long it takes. I don't care what the devil tries to say. I do not care, because we're going to hold forth what God says. Now, there may be some changes. God says something. How many know? We're going to agree with him, right? Amen. We're going to agree with his word, what he has said. He said if we would ask him, we could have this sin. And we, how many have asked God with us? Amen. Have we asked him? He's going to give it. That doesn't mean there's not going to be some more instruction. How many know when he gave the children the promised land, right? Get children of Israel, go across the promised land. Joshua takes them in. Oh, well, how many know it was just easy? They just sat back on the laurels and began to eat the grapes, you know? No, they had to fight, didn't they? There were still places to take. There were still battles to fight. They still had to drive out the ites. There are certain ites in the land, and sometimes there's ites in cities, and sometimes there's walled places, and sometimes we have to continue to fight until we finally realize every power of the enemy's been broken. And when God began to fight, he said, what? You fight until everything was dead, till all of it, it's over, it's finished. Complete annihilation. And God's going to bring us to that place where the enemy has nothing in us. And he's not going to have anybody in this city. And God's power is going to be displayed. We're not going to stop. We're going to see the dry bones live. Amen. And we're going to keep prophesying. How many believe St. Thomas is in revival? St. Thomas is saved. We're not going to stop. We're not going to quit. We're not going to give up. I don't care how I feel. I'm not giving up. I'm not going to quit. I am going to defeat any giants in my life. And we're going to keep defeating. And we're going to help some other people defeat them in their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to take this city. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew, that was a good one. All right, let's go to Joshua for a minute. Joshua 10. Joshua chapter 10. Deuteronomy, Joshua, right? Joshua 10, verse 12. Joshua 10, 12. Now here we see where Joshua spoke. It says here, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of the heaven, and hasted not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it, that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. How many see here he was inspired of the Lord to speak? Hallelujah. He didn't just think it up. He got the strategy of God. And when he spoke, things changed. Did you know when they were trying to figure out how to go to the moon, they had to go back and find out and realize that somewhere in time, back in Joshua, it is true that the sun did stand still. It must have, because the numbers were off. And they said, hey, it's about a whole day. And they realized God stopped the heavens and the earth a whole day, a whole period of time, in order for them to win that battle. Glory to God forever. Whoo! How many believe God can stop some things for you and you're going to win your battle? The enemy's power has been broken. He cannot destroy you. He cannot stop you if we'll continue to what? Speak what God has said. Glory to God. Whoo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn over into the New Testament. While we're heading that way, we'll stop by Romans here, Romans 4:17. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Whew. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, talking to Abraham, about Abraham here, before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. How many believe God calls those things which be not as though they were? He began to say, your name is no longer Abram, but Abraham, a father of a multitude. Sarai, your name is no longer Sarai, but Sarah. Amen. She was the mother of the living. She became the mother of many nations. Hallelujah. How many know? Abraham and Sarah, they did conceive a child. They tried to do it on their own. They had their own idea. How many ever had your own idea? Then they got a hold of God's idea. They took God at his word, amen? And when we take God, even if you've got your own idea, and maybe you made a mess of things, you can change and take God's word and still bring his promise to pass over your life. It's not too late. You're not dead. You're still alive. You're still breathing. As long as you are on this earth, things can change with the word of God. God is the one that came up with the idea that we calleth those things that be not as though they were. Hallelujah. Have you called yourself blessed today? Have you called yourself healthy today? Have you called yourself strong today? We were calling ourselves full of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Sometimes we got to get up in the morning and say, ha, 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 Mr. Devil. Not today. Not today. I believe God. Ha, 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 ha. It may not seem joyful. It may not look good. But I'm telling you, I'm going to have what I say. And I say that God's working mightily in my family today. God's working mightily in my son or daughter. God's working mightily in my niece. God's working mightily in my brother. God is on the scene. I'm telling you, he honors when we stand with faith and we allow ourselves to take hold of his word. And when we speak, things begin to change. And that's what he says here. And then that is godly. That's God's idea. This is the way God wants it done, to call it done. When we don't see it just yet. How many know that Jesus spoke to natural circumstances and they changed? Amen. I'm going to look at, we'll look at a couple more. Mark 11, verse 12. Mark chapter 11. 12 through 14 says this. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Let's skip down to verse 20 and 21. He says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. The tree that Jesus cursed. The next day they come walking by and they realized it was withered. Apparently it didn't look like anything happened the moment he cursed it. But when they came back by, they realized it's dried up from the root. How many know God can come and give you his word, and if you'll take his word, he will help you go to the root of whatever it is in your life. And he can bring a death to the negative and life unto those things that should be. Where there was misery and sorrow, there can be joy evermore and peace that passes understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's word will change a situation or a circumstance. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! It was altered. Let's look here at, we're here in Mark. Let's go back a couple of chapters. Chapter 4. Mark 4, 35 through 41. And the same day, when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. So here they are. You remember when he goes on the sea, right? And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind. And the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, worried and all nervous and wondering what to do. No, he wasn't. The Bible says he was in the hinder part of the ship, what? Asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, good job for trying. No, he did not. Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly. And said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now here Jesus does not look at your circumstances. And if you're in your own self-pity party, he doesn't say, well, I understand. Yes, he's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He is touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. Yes, he is. Nevertheless, he is not moved by it. Do you understand the difference? Yes, he's touched by it. He's touched by our infirmity. He's touched by our weakness. He's touched by the feelings of us. But he is not moved by it, and he expects us not to be moved by it either. But what? To take the word of God and to begin to speak to the circumstance so that there is a change. and there becomes a peace, and we pass over to the other side. That means sometimes we may be in a storm. How many know it doesn't feel fun to be in a storm? Nevertheless, He expects us to use the faith that He gave us in the midst of that storm to change the circumstance and pass over to the other side. He didn't say, oh, good job, way to try. I'm glad you were working so hard trying to bail out the ship. He said, no, why is it that you've no faith? Have you not been watching me? Have you not been studying my life? Have you not been walking with me? But how many know when we walk with the Master, no matter what takes place at us, we'll continue to speak the end result and we'll call those things that be not as though they were, and we will ultimately have the promise. Hallelujah. Glory to God forever. Woo-wee. All right, let's look at just one more. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. We'll look at one more tonight. There's many. These are just a few places where things were spoken. Words change things. God's word. And when we can get it in our mouth, it's going to change our circumstances. I hope you're encouraged tonight. I hope you're getting strength tonight. You're beginning to see. This is a Bible truth. Sometimes people want to say, well, you just think you can have what you say. No, no, no. I have what I say when I agree with what God has already said. And it is not a maybe. It is not a hope so. But I know that what God said will come to pass in my life. And here we got Luke 4:38 says this, and he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house, and Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Hallelujah. How many knows? He talked to the fever. When's the last time you talked to the fever? You talked to the flu? You had a conversation and you said, flu, you're not going to defeat me. Fever, you can't have my life. Fever, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to go, because by his stripes I was healed. How many believe that God's word will come to pass in your life? If we'll take it serious and we'll believe that we can have what we say, just like God is, so are we in this earth. And we'll use the authority that he gave us over our life. Our circumstances can and will change. How many believe that tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. I was going to give another. Well, maybe I will give one example here. Let's just say, because a lot of times we talk about this, we just gave one on sickness and disease, but what about the peace of God? There's all kinds of Christians in the world. How many know? There's all kinds of degrees of emotional distress on an almost daily basis. But this is not God's plan. He made divine peace available, what, to all believers. But how many know it's up to us what we do with our words? Are we going to bridle our tongue? Are we going to speak what God said? Are we going to believe it and accept it? You know, a lot of times we think that peace is dependent upon our present circumstances. It is as though sometimes we believe that we only have peace if their, you know, people believe they only got peace if their problems go away. But that kind of peace is circumstantial, and that means that they have peace, their peace only exists if things in the natural are happening a certain way. Amen. Well, if it's going my way, I mean, why in the world? Of course you're going to be at peace, right? If everything's going your way. is when it's not going our way. The peace of God, the peace God gives is not based upon our circumstances, but it's based upon what He has said. His peace can be a living reality in any situation. And we see that when Jesus was on the boat, He wasn't trying to bail water. He wasn't doing anything except sleeping. He must have been pretty tired, I guess. He was asleep on a pillow. He wasn't worried. And here we have a few scriptures. John 14, 27 says this, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." How many believe we can speak the word of God and peace can be our governor? It can be our life. It says in Philippians 4:7, "And let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And how many know Isaiah 26:3-4? Isaiah 26:3, what? We have perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. And Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful." As we focus more on the infallible word of God and allow it to transform our way of thinking, we begin to capture God's way of looking at our life. And His word will come to take priority. We will see things in the light of His word and realize that things in this natural can be altered by the power of His word. Hallelujah. How many want to alter some things in your life? I know I do. I'm believing God. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop, but on purpose. You may write those peace scriptures down and see peace in your heart. Well, I say it a lot. I don't have undisturbed composure, even though maybe that's what it looks like. And maybe sometimes I may yield to that. Nevertheless, I continue to speak God's word. And when I get my mind over on Him, how many knows what happens? We enter that place of worship. Anybody enter that? Where He brings that peace. Amen. We sang about it tonight. How many started sensing that joy rise up tonight? When you're saying, "Hey, Jesus is my joy." Amen. Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We begin to sing about the name of Jesus. Glory to God. How many receive strength tonight? How many are encouraged? And how many know if we'll bridle our tongue, we'll allow it to guide our life, steer us, you know, it will bridle us like a horse and take us in the direction God wants us to go. Or it will rudder us like that ship and get it turned around. We'll begin to see God's way. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. We thank You for the strength that we can take Your word and change things, Lord. If we'll believe that we have what we say, when we speak Your word, Father, things are going to change. And we thank You for it, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.